zoning that was the problem.
Well, as I read their brief, they were concerned, they were just saying they didn't do that because it was essentially the same thing, and that apparently is a misstatement.
That's not true.
Okay.
It is not the same thing. It's dramatically different, in fact. And so, and
well, what if they just, if they just sign a covenant that the property won't be sold to a non-religious entity without the authorization of the city, would that take care of your concerns?
With or without the zoning change?
With it wouldn't make any difference, would it?
Well, it makes a huge difference.
Why?
For the city.
If they commit not to sell for a non-church use, what difference would it make?
They cannot commit the next buyer.
You know, if it's a covenant that runs with the land.
Oh, if they changed, if the deed is changed through an ordinance?
Well, I don't know, it has to be an ordinance. Can't you amend a deed?
Unilaterally for all future owners? I'm not sure about that.
It's your land. You can impose any restriction on future land uses that the state would enforce under its law of equitable servitudes.
Your Honor, that's not been a discussed option by anybody. I'm not sure why it would advance anybody's interest. The question...
It would take care of your interest.
As would...
Your only interest is that this, according to you, is that this land just be used for a church. That's all you care about, right?
And if not a church, for residential purposes. Those are the two uses.
Right. So if they committed to that, you'd have no objection?
I can't speak for the city. The city has never considered that option.
But you just said that's all the city cares about.
No. With all due respect, the city cares that the zoning remains because in 2001, the city instituted a new master plan that cost them hundreds of thousands of dollars, and that master plan desires low-density housing in that area because of new concerns from the state of Wisconsin about groundwater. So that does not solve all of the issues.
Well, that's of course what they're worrying about, right? That you're making them jump through these hoops. And the next time it's going to be water you're going to be complaining about.
No, these aren't hoops. These are just the existing land use procedures.
I thought you said to Judge Mannion that you didn't have any objections. The city had no objection to the use of this property for a church, since there are other churches right by. Their only concern is that if somehow their project fails, they lose their parishioners or something, they'll sell it to someone who will... If it's been rezoned, use it for some non-residential use. Isn't that your concern, or is there other concerns?
Your Honor, the issue in this case is whether they've borne the burden.
You're not answering my question.
As I said before, I cannot speak for the city on a covenant.
Why not?
Because the city has not taken that under consideration. These are land use procedures that require a consideration of the entire community's interest. And to make that determination at an oral argument unilaterally, I can't do it. This is about New Berlin. This isn't about any particular individual. The question in this case is whether they have shown substantial burden. They have not borne the burden of proof if they have not even bothered to follow the procedures which were recommended, which would have solved everybody's issues. The Westchester case that just came down in the Second Circuit is right on point. The Morgan Hill case in the Ninth Circuit is right on point. If a religious entity does not want to follow land use procedures, that is not what our LUPA was intended to resolve. There is no hint of discrimination here. You raised earlier this notion of the statements against grief.
Of course there's a hint.
No, that was a private meeting brought by the church with the neighbors.
The problem, and Mr. Treen was right to cite the Sherbert case, the problem is these zoning determinations are standardless, discretionary, made by people who are not lawyers. There are no procedures. It's extremely unprofessional, and it's highly political, as we all know. And so the room for discrimination to operate is substantial.
Well, there has to be some evidence on the record that the government discriminated. And it's hard to say the government discriminated when the mayor took it upon himself to propose to them the action that would have gotten what
well,
they
the
wanted.
The 1 year was not a reasonable proposal.
The letter...
Although
the,
you defend it very strongly in your brief.
The written letter did not talk about a CUP. It talked about a PUD on an R2 zone. That was the written proposal that was not acted upon. And so the question here is, can they decide that they want rezoning and it's not consistent with the public good, and then decide they get to go to federal court immediately and say they've got a substantial burden? We wouldn't even
what
have to be here.
What would the rezoning they sought?
Pardon me?
To? What would they be rezoning it to?
They want to rezone it to institutional use,
and
which would
that,
have given...
Grace, what does that include?
That includes permitted uses for... daycare centers, schools, hospitals, museums, libraries, community living facilities.
That's interesting because if the church at some point decides to build a school, and you may think that's in the offing, huh? I mean, they got 40 acres.
They've got 40 acres.
14 for the church.
And the question is, what's going to happen with the other 26?
Yeah. Okay,
a school
well,
or a hospital?
Another, okay, see, that's another question that really is... a little different. Maybe they ought to divide these parcels and do one for the church.
If their interest is in preserving a different use for a different parcel,
well,
maybe that makes sense.
Well, I don't know what makes sense, but obviously you don't want a school there.
No.
Is that
or a hospital.
Is that traffic during the week, right?
It's traffic problems.
Okay, I understand.
So that's essentially the uses in an R2 zone and an institutional zone are so dramatically different. The uses I just listed, some of them are prohibited in an R2 zone, and others have to go through the conditional use permit process. So
now, what about these two churches, the Assembly of God and the other church?
Yes, they were, one of them was given the designation of institutional zoning before the new master plan was put into effect in 2001.
And so, the other?
Long before. And so both of them... were made using determinations about what the master plan for the community was before it was revised. It was revised rather dramatically. Mm-hmm. And so that 2001 cutoff date was when the city decided that this area needed to be low density, was their main determination. So it's not just residential, it's a state residential. It's 5-acre lots for residential purposes. And that determination in the master plan is completely undercut if now the zoning is going to be changed to institutional.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you, Ms.
Thank
Hamilton.
You.
Mr. Hildebrand?
Judge, my opponent has not cited any case that says that if the church enacts or accepts this zoning with a PUD ordinance and sells the land that the ordinance doesn't follow isn't tied to the land.
You would accept that.
Pardon me?
It sounds like you would accept that PUD overlay on the R2.
Absolutely.
And that with an exclusive designation for church.
Absolutely.
And,
that's
and
what
not a school, I guess.
Exactly. And the 14 acres only was subject to this. If they're talking about the other 20 acres, that wasn't even in the application. And
okay.
If there were later plans to build a school, they'd have to go back to
okay.
the city. Now, my opponent has waxed eloquent on the difference between PUD overlay to R2 and over institutional. I'd like to read you a statement from the city attorney that was made during the hearings of this that said that what happened...
What's the record?
Yes, it's Exhibit 10. He said, Attorney Riley, that's the city attorney, said that if the church wasn't built there, the use would go back to the existing zoning, which is R2. So this is what would happen if the church weren't built there. It would go back to an R2. Now, when Mayor Wasacki, after the 4-3 vote, comes in and says, oh, why don't you do this? I am sending you this informational letter. They try to tell you that this is a proposal which, if accepted, would be done. He says in his letter that he does not propose.
That's
Exhibit 13, and this is after the fact. So we're criticized for not following through on this informational letter, and he says that he hopes that it will be considered, but he said that it has to be going through all the procedures, and there's no guarantee, no commitment that the city council will go along with this. This is truly a jumping through a hoop situation, because given the city attorney's statement that if a church is not built, it reverts to R2, and given the same effect that a PUD ordinance would have on this particular property if it reverted to R2, it's totally ephemeral. There is no difference.
I lost the thread. Her concern, Ms. Hamilton's concern, is that maybe, you know, you don't raise the money, maybe these people convert to something else, who knows what, and you decide that your project isn't feasible, and so you sell the 14 acres or the 40 acres to someone else, and if it's been rezoned institutional, then, you know, it might be a daycare center or assisted living or something, which would be contrary to their...
Not true. Not if the because the PUD ordinance would govern that use of that property.
No, no, but that's what they're saying. They want that PUD. What does PUD stand for?
Planned Unit Development.
Planned Unit Development. Okay, they want that ordinance without a change in zoning. And that's, according to Ms. Hamilton, is what the mayor said you should apply for.
He suggested that as an informational matter after the city council had turned it down. My client
said... I thought the city council, according to her, the city council turned down rezoning. If you wanted rezoning and they turned you down.
They turned down rezoning with the prior proposal of the PUD development restriction for the institutional zoning. That's what they turned down. This PUD ordinance was submitted as part of the ongoing application process, and that got turned down. Then, after it's turned down, and I would urge this court to look at Exhibit 13, because this is the so-called proposal, which comes a month or so after the turndown. And my clients correctly concluded that since there was no substantial difference between their proposal and this so-called informational letter, they were just being asked for jumping through more hoops, and there was absolutely no prospect with the hostility that they experienced at the city council that this would ever be approved.
So your proposal, let me make sure I understand, because I'm pretty lost now. So your proposal, which the city council turned down, was to rezone to institutional uses, but with an ordinance that would limit your use to a church?
Exactly, and that ordinance is an appendix to the reply brief, and it sets it all out very specifically.
What are you asking us to do?
Pardon me?
At this point, then. What would we do? Would we say, okay, PUD proposal over the R2 zoning for the 14 acres with the restriction to a church is what they got to do?
No, we're asking you to find that by denying the church's request that the city violated RLUIPA, and I believe they did.
Then you got to go back and start over?
No, the court could, the district court could make an appropriate injunction to allow the building of this church consistent with
under the PUD ordinance, which
we suggested, yes.
Your time is up, but not to prolong this. But does the record tell us anything about what, if any, hoops the other churches that are right there had to go through?
No, I don't think they had to jump through any hoops. What this church did was completely consistent with what the other churches did, and then there was another church not near the place where a PUD was enacted, and that was the basis for this a proposal that the church made.
How long is that? I think Bethel, you said that.
How long is what?
Bethel, was that the name?
Yes.
How long have they been there?
I don't know. Number of years.
But they were before the 1991 change or 2001 change, whenever it was.
And so finally, just briefly, Mr. Schober did propose a restrictive covenant that's in his affidavit, which was turned down too.
Well, those other churches were there before the enactment of the religious use.
One church is there. The other church has not been built, but the property is owned institutional, same as we asked for.
Okay, so... So now I'm looking at your appendix and your reply brief. So RA1, this ordinance number blank, this is what you proposed, correct? And what
yeah.
they turned down. So on page 2 of that, your PUD says the following uses shall be allowed, and that's the church and all these auxiliary activities, auxiliary facilities, all part of the church. And says, okay, but how does this, so what happens if you don't develop the property? Is your notion that this ordinance would freeze the use to the church, to a church?
Yes, but the city attorney on Exhibit 10 on page 4 said the use would go back to the existing zoning, which is R2, if they didn't build the church. That's what he said.
Which is not objectionable to the city, of course.
No, if the church isn't built, it would go back to square one.
Okay, well, thank you.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Mr. Hildebrand, but my curiosity is so piqued that I'm going to ask Ms. Hamilton if she will return and address this question, what interpretation we're supposed to place on this proposal.
The proposal that they made was for rezoning with a PUD on top of it, right? Planned unit development. PUD, if they were to sell it to another church on that same property, that would be fine. It would continue to be used that way. But if they were to sell to an institution that would use it in different ways, child care, hospital, the city would now be open to having that use in institutional circumstances, which means they would have no ability to put some meaningful restrictions on it to make it consistent with an R2 district.
I find it hard to square that with this proposal.
Your Honor, I'm just speaking. If I could get the municipal ordinance, let me give you the numbers so that you can see what the law is. Residential permitted uses.
What's the citation?
This is at section 275.33 of the New Berlin Code.
Section 275.33,
which gives you a chart of the uses that are permitted and not permitted in a residential district.
No, we know all about that. This statement, this proposal, says flatly, in this PUD overlay district, the following uses shall be allowed, and it's just the church. So how would that, if that's all that can be allowed, how could they sell it to anybody other than any entity other than another church? Because
well,
no one could. It says the following uses shall be allowed, and that's it.
That does not run with the land.
How do you know?
It's a planned unit development, Your Honor.
Excuse me?
It's a planned unit development. It doesn't run with the land.
How do you know it doesn't run with the land?
That's the law of the city of New Berlin.
What do you mean, law of the city of Berlin? What runs with the land is a matter of state law.
Equitable
servitude.
The zoning code of the city of New Berlin determines the definition of a planned unit development.
It reverts back to the original zoning.
It reverts back to the original zoning.
If it's R2, it would revert back to R2.
Exactly.
If it's changed to institutional, it reverts back to
institutional.
And you would be totally satisfied if it was an overlay on R2.
Absolutely. That would be fine, because that preserves what the master plan.
Is there a way we can accelerate the process and just do that?
No, it has to go through there's a due process requirement, and yeah. It has to go through the processes. There's no indication it's going to take years. It's just a matter of filing an application and getting it going, but that's not happened because we've been in federal court.
Yeah, here we are.
Could you tell me about how those other churches, this whole Religious Land Use Act is supposed to make it easier for churches to find a place to open up?
But the Religious Land Use and Institutionalized Persons Act was intended to redress discrimination.
Yeah.
It was not intended to give churches the right to choose whatever location they like in defiance of zoning. In the legislative history, it's very clear. It is not immunity.
The Lutherans there, and now the Greeks want it.
They are in a parcel that was zoned before the revisions of the master plan, when the city was not aware of the restrictions that were going to be put on their aquifers. So there is a change in circumstances in 2001 that drove a new master plan, which cost the city hundreds of thousands of dollars, and they have a vision for the uses there, and they have reasons for them. So that those pre-existing uses, they weren't going to make those churches move, even if they would have preferred that those were R2 zones. But any newcomer into the R2 zone, they would like to have the use be consistent with R2. And that's really, that's all that's at stake. Any other questions? Thank you, Your Honor.
Thank you, Ms. Adler. Okay, I guess that does it. Thank you very much to all three sides. Next case for argument is